Well, Pastor's been preaching, you know, going through the Big Ten series. We're going through the Bible. We're encouraging ourselves. We're learning the Word of God, and we're strengthening ourselves. And my task this morning is we're going to talk about Daniel. We're going to take the next few minutes and talk about Daniel. Yes, we know Daniel in the lion's den. How many remember that story in Sunday school? Yeah, I see all your hands. You know, there's some really cool stories in the book of Daniel. You have Daniel in the lion's den, the three Hebrew boys thrown into the fiery furnace. Amazing stories. Some of you here know Daniel as, you know, the prophet, you know, of prophetic significance. You know, you study it for prophecy, and that's great. But I want to look at Daniel a little bit different today, because as I was studying Daniel, it's amazing how it goes parallel with what's going on in America. And we're going to show you this. So I want to show you today as Daniel the influencer. Everybody say influencer. If we're going to change the world, it's not posting on Facebook. If we're going to change the world, it's not going downtown with a big sign about what you believe or don't believe. Those things probably have their place. If you're going to change the world, it's not going to a neighbor and arguing over whether you're right or wrong. What's going to change the world is to influence the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to see Daniel as the man who influenced people. Are you ready for this? Let me give you a quick history lesson. Last Sunday, Pastor Wayne spoke about David. You remember David? As I was sitting there watching David fight, and I'm like, man, I felt like a man watching that. Yeah, get my sword, right? Sorry, ladies. You just got to understand. It's good to see manly things going on, right? And so at this time, the kingdom of Israel becomes one of the greatest nations at this time, all right? Yes, David had his ups and downs. Yes, he did things he shouldn't have done. But God's spirit and God's presence was with him. Then Solomon comes along, his son, and things were just getting even greater. The man was the smartest man in the world. The Bible says that there is not one like him even unto this day. He built this kingdom. He built the tabernacle. I mean, the nation of Israel was at its finest. But then we come to the end of Solomon's life, and Solomon allowed the world to creep in. He allowed false gods to come in, and all of a sudden, this great nation becomes divided. I want to show you some slides here. Here on the screen, we have the kings. So during this time when Solomon dies, we have a civil war that breaks out in Israel, okay? Now, why is this important? It's going to lead us up to Daniel, so hang with me just for a second. So we have 10 tribes. They go to the north, called the Northern Kingdom. They were called Israel. We had 2 tribes go to the southern kingdom, which was called Judah. All right, you see in this. 2 tribes here, 10 tribes there. What's all this about? Well, here's all the kings that were kings of these areas, all right? The southern kingdom was the one that stayed close to God. Now, understand what's going on here. These folks, they loved God. You can see some of the names there. Jehoshaphat, all those Manasseh, all those guys. You have Josiah. Then you come over to the northern kingdom, and you see they were just evil, wicked men. I would encourage you, study this. Look it up in Scripture. Some of these kings in the northern kingdom, they would not raise their sons in the ways of God. And when their sons come to power, they just got further and further away from the Lord. Are you with me? Next screen. Now, I'm so amazed about God. God will never give up on us. Aren't you glad about that? Probably what you have seen so far going through the Scriptures is there's a redemption story taking place. It's showing us the love of God. Yes, we're human beings. Yes, we live in a world of sin. But God's presence and God's light will always be shining. Are you with me? So God would send these prophets to the northern and southern kingdoms, right? And they would tell them about how great God is. They would tell them to repent of their sins and to remember where you've come from and all these things. Go to the next screen. So here's the prophets. Now, here's what happens. When you get away from God, you get away from God's presence, you get away from God's protection, and you get away from God's blessing. Are you with me? So God raises up these nations who comes in. Assyria comes into Israel, the northern kingdom, and takes over them. Now, it's a dark time. Let me just explain this. Jonah, that's what makes the Jonah story so amazing. Why did Jonah not want to go to Nineveh? Because Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, the very place that's going to come in and conquer the nation Israel. Are you with me? So you kind of start seeing how this connection takes place. But then you go back in the southern kingdom. They're loving God. They're following God. They're trying to stay close to God. But all of a sudden, sin creeps its way in, and we come to the man named Daniel that we're going to talk about today. This kingdom called Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar comes in and takes over Judah. Now, let me just throw something out here. I'm not a professional in this or know-it-all in this. But it amazes me as I was studying this how America today is fighting these same enemies that fought Israel. Let me show you this. We were just in Iraq, right? That's Babylon. That's where Babylon was. The Taliban, all those folks there. Then you have Assyria. Where do they come from? That's where ISIS is coming out of. So it's kind of fascinating how you start seeing the parallels. But here's the amazing thing. I don't want to come in here this morning and get you all negative and all down and out and get you all scared to death. We don't have to be scared because here's the thing. God always has a light that will shine in the darkness. God has a remnant that will always stand for what's right and oppose what's wrong. And now we come to this man named Daniel. Let's read this real quick here. It's in your notes. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1, it says this. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands. Now let's stop right here. Who is this man, Jehoiakim? I want to tell you that according to the theologians, this king was the third worst king of Judah, all right, the southern kingdom. This man, let me tell you about him. He was self-centered, and he loved material possessions. Doesn't that sound like America today? Not only that, he would kill innocent people. If you opposed him, he'd kill you. How about that? If you wouldn't give him your house, he would kill you. If he wouldn't give you whatever he wanted from you, material possession-wise, he would take you out and he would kill you. Not only would he do that, but he opposed a man named Jeremiah. Remember Jeremiah the prophet in Scripture? He antagonized Jeremiah. Jeremiah was constantly saying, Jehoiakim, let me tell you this. If you don't repent of your sins and keep Israel's and Judah's face toward God, Babylon will come in and take over. The king would not listen. Let me tell you, it got so bad that when the word of God was being read in his presence, he got so angry that he would come and rip it out and throw it into the fire. It amazes me, isn't that where we're at in America? But again, God will always have a Daniel. Because here's what the Bible says. The Bible goes on and says this. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the house of his God. Then the king instructed Asphanez, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles. Young men in whom there was no blemish, good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's place, and whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. Now listen to this. It's a dark time. Before these young men, we know them. You guys know them? Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. In other words, you know them as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Are you with me? Here's the thing. No matter how dark it gets, God will always have his man. God will always have his lady. God will always shine his light in the darkness. So he takes these young people. Now listen, this story of Daniel is going to cover every age, from the teenager all the way up to the elderly. Listen to this. God needs everyone in this place to be an influencer for him. Now let me show you this. They bring Daniel, the three Hebrew boys in, and they begin to indoctrinate them with a Babylon worldview. Why is worldview so important? Because we want to teach our kids the ways of God, right? Biblical worldview, right? Let me show you how bad this got. They take Daniel in and say, hey, Daniel, your name means God is my judge, but I'm going to name you Belshazzar. May Bel protect his life. Then they say, Hananiah, I'm changing your name. Your name means this, Jehovah is gracious. So I'm going to change it to Shadrach, the command at a coup. That means it's the God of them. It's going to be the command of a coup. Then he goes on and says, hey, Mishael, your name is who is what God is. You're going to be called Meshach, which is who is what a coup is. Are you seeing what's happening here? Then Azariah means Jehovah has helped. I'm going to call you Abednego. You're going to be called servant of Nebo. So you begin to see this worldview training taking place. Let's go on to the next scripture. In Daniel 1, verse 5, it says, the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained how many years? 3 years. And after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, and we covered that. And so then we go on, verse 8. But Daniel, notice what this says. Everybody read these words with me. In verse 8, but Daniel resolved what? Not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now God had caused the official to have favor and compassion on Daniel. See what's going on here. Here Daniel, these teenagers, they're far away from home. Their parents are not there. They've been brought to the king of Nebuchadnezzar, a really ruthless man. You should study him. They bring him into his presence. We're going to train you and we're going to indoctrinate you with what we believe. But here's the thing I want you to understand. Daniel resolved not to defile himself. No matter what's going on in America, no matter how fearful things may look or how scared you may be, we have to resolve as a people of God not to defile ourselves with the things of this world. Because here's the thing I want you to understand. Because Daniel stood for God, I truly believe he impacted these three Hebrew boys. Because a couple chapters later, there's going to be this big, huge statue built, and those that do not bow their knee is going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. You know the story? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, the Bible says that the music began to sound. Everybody in the place began to bow down except for three guys. Can you imagine being those three guys? You're standing there looking, oh my goodness, why don't I bow down? I'll repent later. No, they stood up and said, I'm not going to defile myself. Daniel influenced his circle of influence. Let me say that again. Daniel influenced his circle of influence. I think in this day, and I like what the old pastor used to say, church, we're no longer in Jerusalem, we're in Babylon. And sometimes the way we present the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not going to be going knocking on someone's door and begin to throw the word of God at them. Where God wants us to be effective is our circle of influence. Those ones that you know that cut your hair. Those ones that you go see for a doctor's appointment. Those family, that family in your life that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or that coworker you sit next to on your job. That's your circle of influence. Everyone in this room has a circle of influence. And so here's my question. What kind of influence are you influencing on your circle of influence? That was a lot. What kind of influence are you influencing on your circle of influence? Do you see a kind word, a smile, our confidence knowing no matter what's going on, but you have a faith to believe that God is able? What are you communicating to your family? What are you communicating to your wife, your husband, your children, your coworkers? What are you saying? Are you saying God is able? God is alive? Are you scared and say, oh, I got to give up. I can't do anything. And just leave fear and negativity in your place of your circle. What does your circle of influence say about you? Because here's the thing. Daniel was an ordinary man. He didn't have extraordinary giftings. He just simply did what God put into his hand. Yes, he was smart. Yes, he was in the government political there. He was in the political surroundings there. He just simply took what was in his hands and he served God. We're going to show you more of this. Are you with me so far? So we see here that Daniel began to influence the kingdom of God in this dark place. The three Hebrew boys begin to stand up for their faith because Daniel was their spokesman and said, if Daniel can stand up, we're going to stand up for our God. So Daniel provides an example of influence. And I want to encourage everyone in this room today, you are influencing someone. The question is this, what does your influence express to others? Does it say your God is Lord or does it express something else? You see, if we're going to change America, if we're going to change Indiana, it starts with an influence. It starts with you and I obeying Scripture. It starts with you and I doing what God says and tells us to do. Are you with me? All right, let me show you something else that's really cool that stood out here. Not only did Daniel influence his circle of influence, but Daniel influenced two empires. Let me show you this. These two empires were this, two kings. That's mentioned most in Daniel. One was King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Then we're going to see King Darius of the Medes and the Persians. Daniel was truly a man of God. In the darkest time, he could have said, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to do what they say. I'm just going to follow all procedures and do what everybody's happening here in Babylon. But no, he said, I'm going to stand up for God. Pastor Wayne talked about something last week about submission to authority, right? You see, Daniel lived his life. He lived a life of integrity. And so I believe that he was very submissive to these kings. But yet he would not defile himself. You see, some of you work with bosses that there's days you just want to punch right in the nose. Some of you are in situations, you sit here and you complain about it. Oh, God, I wish I had another job. Why am I here? But what you don't know, God has strategically placed you there to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Here's what happens. We see here in Scripture that Daniel, we're going to talk about this more in here in just a few minutes, but he influences two empires. And one way he did it, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. This dream scares Nebuchadnezzar so bad, he calls in his wise men. Now, Daniel and the three Hebrew boys are not a part of this conversation just yet. He calls in these wise men and says, fellas, you're the brightest of all my kingdom. You're the smartest. You know everything. I had a dream last night. Now tell me about it. Are you kidding me? I love what the scripture says. The Bible says that these guys looked at him and says, Nebuchadnezzar, it don't matter how smart someone is, they're not going to be able to tell you what your dream is until you tell me something about your dream. But Nebuchadnezzar was such a wicked man, he said, you got to tell me. If you don't tell me, you're going to die. I would like to be in that situation. Okay, guys, let's go figure this out. What do you think he dreamed about? I have no idea. We know that Daniel comes in, and we're going to talk about this more in just a few minutes, but Daniel comes in, and he says, wait, Nebuchadnezzar, don't kill anybody. Give me some time. And we know that he went and prayed and called upon the name of the Lord. And look what the Bible says. After Daniel interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, here's what was said in Daniel 2:46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of the secrets, since you could reveal this secret. So you see Daniel beginning to influence this king with the power of God. Now Nebuchadnezzar saw it when the three Hebrew boys were in the fiery furnace, because he said, did we not throw three men in? How many did he say did we see? I see four, and one looks like the Son of God. Amen? Now hang with me here. The next scripture I want to show you here, that we're coming to the end of King Nebuchadnezzar's life. Now I'm jumping ahead here. Here's what he says. In Daniel 4, verse 34, and at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. Verse 35, for all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? Many theologians believe at the end of Nebuchadnezzar's life, he turned his heart over to the true God, and he became a follower. Isn't that amazing? But you know what? Here's the sad thing. A lot of us are coming into church today. All this stuff is happening in our world. We're scared to death. We're hiding our heads in the sand. And I just want to tell you this. We should not be surprised about what's going on in this world, because the Bible says it's going to get worse before it gets better. The whole point is this. There's a God of this world, a little g, God of this world named Satan. And right now, he owns rights to this earth. But there's coming a day when Jesus is coming back, and he's going to take back what Satan has stole from us. But Daniel gives us an example of what we need to be doing as followers of Christ. Not jumping on your Facebook, arguing with every single person on your phone. Come on, get over it. Not going downtown and taking picket signs and saying everything you... What God needs is for someone to go into your companies, to go into the schools, to go into your neighborhoods and influence Jesus Christ to the world. Just teach the gospel. Some of you need to have some sinful friends. Let me explain that. So many of us have been saved for so long, we don't know anybody that's lost anymore. We got to stop being afraid. We need to go up to that person and say, can I invite you out to lunch today? Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. We do it all backwards. We're scared. Oh my goodness, I can't talk to that person. Oh my, look what that person looks like. Are you serious? What did you look like before you were saved? We have got to influence people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to stop being scared to rub our shoulders with people that don't go to church, that might live another lifestyle. The best way to influence somebody is get to know them and tell them about Jesus. Are you with me? Not push them away. Not tell them, oh, you don't smell like I do. Get away from me. You know what Daniel did? He went to King Nebuchadnezzar and he said, listen, your ways are not my ways. I'm not defiling myself, but I'll help you out. Give me a few days and I will pray to God and he will show you your dream. And he did. And we see a man that was impacted. Well, several years later, King Darius comes in, the Medes and the Persians. And it's so funny. 18 months it took for Judah to fall. The Babylonians came, they besieged it, 18 months. In one night, the great country of Babylon fell in one night. King Darius comes in just as was prophesied. And the Bible says this, Daniel, he took Daniel in, he found favor with Daniel. And everybody got upset about it. Who's this guy think he is? He's coming in here and the king, King Darius likes this guy. Look at him, he's not even from our country. He's from Judah, the one that they conquered. Babylon's conquered. I didn't even have any part. What is this guy? And we all know they schemed a scheme and threw him into the lion's den, right? Let me show you this. The Bible says in Daniel 6, 14. And the king, when he heard these words, he was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. You see, he could not change the law that was passed. And we'll talk about this more in just a few minutes, but listen to me. He could not change the law. Then it says, these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command. They brought Daniel and cast him into the dens of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, what did he say? This is not Daniel speaking. This is the king speaking. Daniel, your God will deliver you. Isn't that powerful? Daniel, your God will deliver you. I've seen the way you live your life. I've watched how you walk. I watched how you talk. I know you will not defile yourself, but your God will deliver you. Then he goes on and says this. Then King Darius wrote to all the people. After the fact, he come back. The Bible says that King Darius couldn't sleep all night. He's running back and forth. Oh my goodness, my friend is being killed. What's going to happen? He runs out there. He calls into the den and says, Daniel, are you there? And I love it. Daniel says, I'm here. Can you imagine all those guys standing out there like, what? Would you look at that? Right? Here's the thing. Yes, we may have to face lion's dens. Oh, I'm sorry, church. Some of us may have to give our lives for the cause of Christ. But God will always stand sure. His power will never be taken away. His authority will never be taken by the devil. God will be God. The Bible says that he made this decree. Listen to what he says. He wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus of Persia. Not only did he influence his circle of influences, but he influenced the people that God brought into his life. Empires, kings. Are you with me? I know some of you are sitting there like, man, Pastor Jason, let me tell you the third one. This is my last point and we're going to be done. This is my favorite. Not only did Daniel influence his circle of influence, not only did Daniel influence these two empires that everybody was afraid of, but Daniel influenced God. If you don't hear anything else I say today, I want this to be the thing you hear. Daniel influenced God. Now, Daniel didn't change God's mind. Daniel wasn't overpowering God. No, because of Daniel's life, he influenced God. We go back to the dream. King Nebuchadnezzar says, go kill all the wise men. And we see this circle of influence because here comes the soldiers to Daniel. They should have just arrested him. No questions asked. But Daniel says, hey, what's going on? And the soldier told him what was happening. So there had to be a relationship there, right? Hey, let me go talk to the king. Let me go make sure things are right. Let me go take care of the situation. Are you seeing the influence of Daniel? Even Aspenaz, back in the beginning when he was a young man being trained, he had compassion for him. Oh, please hear me. Listen, the Bible says this. Daniel went in Daniel 2:16 and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, the dream, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then verse 9. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I'm just imagining this in my mind's eye. Fellas, we need to come to the living room. We need to talk. Get your popcorn out. I got to tell you something. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And we have to tell him what it means. Oh, this is awesome. So what was the dream about? He didn't tell me. What? Put yourself in their shoes. They're in the middle of nowhere, no family. They have been taken from their home as captives. And they get in there and they begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, you know the secrets of men's hearts. You know everything, and we know the end of the story. The Bible says he walked back into King Nebuchadnezzar and told him everything that his dream had to tell about it. And the Bible says, and we read the verse, King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and said, your God is the God of gods. Who are you, Daniel? Isn't that awesome? Not only did he influence God there's another way he influenced God. He was thrown into the lion's den because of jealousy of other people. Did you know there's going to be people that's not always going to like you? Did you know that? Some of you live your life to please people and so worried about what people think of you, but guess what? Not everybody's going to like you, so get over it. You know, I say something in our growth track 301 is so funny. So many of us, we try to get our words just right when we're meeting somebody for the first time. You're walking up, oh, does my hair look okay? Do I have no boogers in my nose? Does my breath smell okay? And you're going over there, oh, I hope I made an impression. And they're thinking the exact same thing when they meet you, and they don't even know who you are when you leave. Some of us worry about so many things that we don't need to be worried about, because the very things you're thinking of is what they're thinking of. So get over it. Come on. But listen, there he was, thrown into the lion's den, jealousy, because he was being promoted, because he was a man of integrity, because he prayed to his God and he obeyed God. And all of a sudden, the other leaders got upset and threw him into the lion's den. Here's the point. Until God's done with you, there's nothing anybody can do to you. Isn't that awesome? Until God's done with you, there's nothing anybody can do to you. There he was. I can imagine. I don't know about you, I'd be scared to death. If it was me, I'd probably be holding on to the doorpost. Don't throw me in here. Jason, you're supposed to be a man of God. I'm still scared. But there he was. He was thrown into the lion's den. And what did the Bible say? The angel of the Lord came, put that picture back on the screen, and shut the mouths of the lions. I want that much influence with God that when someone's trying to kill me or hurt me, God shows up and says, watch this. That's powerful. What are you so scared of, church, in 2015? What we're so fearful of? Not only did he influence God through a dream, he influenced God as he was thrown into a lion's den. Let me show you the third thing. This is the most awesome, and I'm almost done, okay? God had a visit. Daniel had a visitation by an angel. Not just any angel, but God sent his best. He sent an archangel. Not only did he send an archangel, Gabriel, to come and speak with Daniel, but while Daniel was praying over a situation, He sends his archangel Michael to fight with the prince and the paladins of the air of Persia. Isn't that awesome? I want to be a man that when I kneel down and begin to pray, God don't just send any angels. He sends his best. Look what the Bible says. Let me show you this. In Daniel 10, verse 17, hear this archangel standing right in front of him. He says, "How can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I could hardly breathe." You all would say the same thing if an angel appeared to you. Come on, right? Then it says, "Then the one who looked like a man touched me again and I felt my strength return." He said in verse 19, "Don't be afraid. If you are," because, listen to what it says, "for you are very" what? "Precious to God. Peace. Be encouraged. Be strong." Then it goes on and says, and he gives him what's going to happen through the rest of history of Israel. Isn't this awesome? He influenced this circle of influence. He influenced two empires. But most importantly, he influenced God. This morning, do you want to be an influencer of God? And I just feel, I'm done right now. But listen to this. So many of us, and I hear a lot of Christian people, followers of Jesus, with everything that's going on, so many people want to give up. So many people want to let fear come in their hearts. Here's the thing I want to tell you this morning. The Bible says, be strong. Be courageous. There's nothing to fear this morning because God is still alive. God still sits on the throne. God is still with us. So let me give you this scarlet thread of redemption. There's three things I want to get you. Number one, if we're going to make influence and we're going to have influence with people, the first thing we need to understand is this. We need to be obedient to God. The Bible says in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." How do you become obedient to God? By reading the Word of God and doing it. Be doers of the Word. When God starts seeing someone that's obedient to him and is not afraid of whatever happens, but is keeping his commandments, do you think God's going to show up for you? Yes. Number two, if we're going to influence others, we have to live a life of integrity. Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful, it will destroy them." That means, how do you live on your job? Are you taking post-it notes home when they don't belong to you? Uh-oh. Are you getting into the refrigerator taking someone else's lunch? Are you talking about somebody behind their back when they're not there to defend themselves? If we're going to live a life of integrity, every detail matters. By the words we say, by the thoughts we think, Daniel was obedient to God. He said, "I'm not defiling myself." Number two, I'm going to be integrity. I'm going to live a life that's pleasing to God. I'm going to make sure everything walks the talk. Because the Bible says that these guys, as they were trying to find fault with Daniel, they could not find anything. So what did they attack? His religion. His spiritual life. They told him to stop praying. But did Daniel listen? No, he continued to pray. That's what threw him into the lion's den. The third thing is, I want to show you this. He lived a life of prayer. And that's why this is so fitting with what we just prayed here a few minutes ago. The Bible says in James 5, verse 16, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man," what? "Avails much." That's what God is looking for today. I know this has been a hodgepodge and all over the place. But the whole point of Daniel is this: he influenced people. He didn't go barking into King Nebuchadnezzar's, "Let me tell you something, oh King Nebuchadnezzar, I'll show you." He just simply lived a life that was dedicated to Christ, to God. Stand up, please. If I have all of our small group leaders, all of our pastors, those that are prayer warriors, come on, I want you to just come up here. Maybe you're here today and you're allowing fear to kind of keep you paralyzed. God is telling you to do something. God is calling you out. Maybe he's telling you to start something on your job, but you're allowing fear to stop you because you're afraid of everything that's going on. I can't serve God. I can't do this because of all these rules and laws and all these things. Listen, did Daniel think about those things? No, he chose not to defile himself. So my first altar call is to you. If you're here and fear has paralyzed you, I want you to come and have one of these people pray for you up here. If fear is stopping you from the fullest that God has called you, you need to come up here and let one of these guys pray for you. The second group that I want to have come up here is those that are, maybe you're not allowing your influence to influence others. Maybe you sit here and say, I'm not good enough, or I don't have the words to say, or it don't matter. But you say, I want to come up here and have one of these folks pray for me because I want to have a greater influence with people on my job, at my school, with my neighbors. Won't you come? Perhaps you're here tonight or this morning and you just have a need and you need someone to pray with you. I'm going to ask you to come. Don't be afraid. Go ahead and step out right now. What is it that you need from God? You know, my prayer for everyone in this room today is that all of you will want to influence God. You don't want to just live a normal life, but you want to influence God. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to come and say, hey, I want you to pray for me because I want to influence God wherever I'm at. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this day. And God, as we're going through this Big Ten studies, Father, I'm so thankful that we come across a man named Daniel. A very dark time that he lived. But God, he didn't give up. He didn't give in. He influenced. Lord Jesus, I just pray for everyone in this room this morning, God, that we would be a people of influence. Lord, there's many people in this room and they have a circle of influence in their life, God. Those people that they talk to every day. I pray, God, that you would make us a light shining in the darkness. I pray, God, that these folks that are here and they're on in situations on their jobs, I pray, God, that you will show them they can be your light in that situation. Lord Jesus, I know that there's marriages here struggling, but God, they can influence one another by simply following hard after you. Lord, maybe there's some in this room today, God, they're praying for their children, and their children have run away from you, but God, I pray that they'll be an influence for you. Lord Jesus, hear our prayers this morning. Help us to be pleasing to you today, oh God. Lord Jesus, the last prayer that I want to pray this morning for all these standing out here. Lord Jesus, may we be a people that turns your head. May we be a people that influences you, God. That when we ask things in prayer, that you hear us and that you will deliver to us. Lord Jesus, I praise you and I thank you for this great day.
So I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me.
Would you pray with me? Lord, make us like Daniel. Would you pray that prayer? Lord, make me like Daniel. God, give me a spirit of courage, spirit of wisdom, spirit of power. Let me do all that you ask and be obedient to you in every circle of my life. Holy Spirit, we need your power to live a life of holiness in a world filled with sinfulness. Give us grace and courage to speak up and be a light to the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great, 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 timely word. And it's right there in the Bible. It's been there all along. Isn't that amazing? God's word is so miraculous. That's why you should open it every day. Amen? Pastor, I'd like to hear God's voice. God's word is God's voice. And every time you open it, he speaks to you. On the back of your notes is a summer Bible reading plan that we are encouraging everybody to follow along with. And it's an overview of the entire Bible. It's not too late to join in. We're a little bit over halfway through the Big Ten series. Next Sunday is Ruth, and it's going to be an awesome, awesome day. Amen. If you're a guest here at Grace today, thank you for coming. I'd love to meet you personally in Connection Central right through that door in just a moment when we say amen and have an opportunity to meet you. But before you leave today, I want to give you a blessing. Are you ready? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen.